We're a multi-ethnic, diverse church, which we would have it no other way. Amen. And so it's so encouraging to see God touching people from different ethnicities and different backgrounds. Why? Because we're all one, made in the image of God, carrying the image of God, and in God's eyes that we are one people, one church. And we're just so excited that that's being manifested on the campus. So thank you, campus team, Ben and Ashley and Abigail and everyone. You're just doing a great job. We're delighted you're here with us today, and we're going to be talking again through our Purple Book Sunday. We're talking about lordship and relationships. Lordship and relationships. Now, let me tell you something. Whether you like it or not, we are creatures of relationship. How many of you know that the way God made us, we actually flourish, whether we like it or not, when we're around people? I want you to touch the person next to you and say, I think he's talking to you already. That's it. We are, by nature, people that are social. And we're going to talk more about that. But God has a lot to say about relationships, and particularly who we're in relationship with and the depth of our relationship. And so as we talk about that, we're gonna get more into it. But I want to just share with you, before we really open up the package, who we are at Every Nation. Number one, Every Nation, we are a church. We exist to honor God and plant churches that are Christ-centered, spiritually empowered, and socially responsible. In other words, we want to preach Jesus is Lord. People say, are you a discipleship church? Are you discipleship-centered? Are you visitor-centered? No, we're Jesus-centered. And so we want to preach Jesus. We want Christ to be the center of our worship. We want Christ to be the center of what we're doing in the city. Because if he is centered, if he's exalted, the Bible tells us he'll draw all men to himself. And so we exist to honor God through those three means, and we want to plant churches and campus ministries all around the world. That's our mission statement. And we have some core values. If you could put that, there we are. Our core values is, they're five. And we're going through this because we want everyone to know why you're here and why we exist as a church. Our first core value is lordship. Would you say that? Lordship means Jesus is in control. We look to him, not a man, not a woman, not an institution, not a nation. We look to Jesus as Lord. Our second core value is evangelism. We believe God wants us to tell other people about the good news of how Jesus changed our life. Number three, we believe in discipleship. And you see a young man like E.T. and these other men sitting over here, the reason they're in church and doing so well is because someone is discipling them. Jesus said, go and make disciples of all nations. All right, so we're meant not just to get church attenders, we're meant to disciple people so they can advance God's kingdom. Number four, we believe in leadership development. We had a great time at our one-to-one class this morning. We're not there just to teach information. We're actually developing leaders. We want these people to go out and do evangelism and discipleship with others, okay? We want to take it out of the four walls of the church and make it intentional to reach our planet. Are you with me? To reach what God is doing. And number five, is we talk about family or relationships. How many know God is a relational God? God is about relationship. In fact, when Jesus prayed the high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, here's what he said. This is eternal life, that you may know him, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. God is so into relationship that he really wants to know you. He wants to know you so much, he sent his own son in flesh and blood, incarnate, to walk here on the earth so that you and I could have access to a relationship. How many think that's pretty cool? Yeah. That God, who is the greatest being in the universe, wants to know you. And that through Jesus Christ, we have access to that relationship. Have you ever met somebody who's famous or that you thought was powerful? I have. And what was amazing is it was someone who knew them who got me in touch with them. And when they said, I know this person, I will give you his phone number, I'll give you his email, I'll get you in touch with him. One guy, his name was Dr. Michael Behe. He's a famous scientist who has written many books, and I've read all of his books. And when I read his books, I thought, I'd love to meet this guy. So I met another scientist at the Discovery Institute. He goes, oh, I know Dr. Behe. He comes and lectures. So I said, I'd love to meet him. So I got to meet him. And then later, I got to actually go speak with him at an apologetics conference, which was really a highlight for me. But the greatest thing was someone gave me access to someone I didn't know that I wanted to know. That's exactly what Jesus does for you and I. God is a relational God. God is a social God. This is eternal life, that you may know him. You know what, God? He wants you to know him, but he wants to know you too. The word know or knowledge is the word to understand or be intimate with. It's called gnosis. When someone is agnostic, that means they don't know. A is without knowledge. God wants us to be gnosis. He wants us to know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him, and we can have that through Jesus Christ. So God has made us social beings. Do you realize that they've done studies that people who are socially connected live longer than people who are isolated? Did you know that? Yeah. It's an amazing thing. Even in our social media world with all the digital technology that we have, can I tell you what? People fare better when they're in a crowd. Why? Because God has made us that way. God has made us to be social beings. In fact, they've done studies where people who eat with other people, they actually enjoy their meal better. They actually have higher serotonin and endorphin levels when they eat people they like, or eat with people they like, I should say. Yeah, we're not talking about cannibalism. They eat with people they like. Not they like to eat people. Sorry about that. That was a Freudian slip, I guess. But people are happier when they're with other people. Somebody say amen. And let me tell you what, people do better when they are in church, even though we may be 6 feet apart with masks, we actually do better. And if I could gauge your endorphin levels, you would actually have more serotonin, you would have more dopamine in your brain now than you are if you were alone viewing on Zoom. Thank you for viewing online. We're so glad you're here. But we're doing a lot better here in person. Why? Because God made us that way. Are you with me? It's so important that we understand God is a relational God. He didn't stop at making the breach that man had brought in the relationship to bridge that breach by sending his own son to say, I want to restore, I want to be an ambassador, I want to bring you back into relationship. I want to reconcile you. And we as his church are meant to be reconcilers. We're meant to bring people back together that were once at enmity with one another, that were warring and didn't understand. He wants us to bring people back together. That's why I love this church so much, because we have black, we have white, we have Hispanic. We've got all kind of ethnicity here, and we're worshiping the same God because we're brothers and sisters. Why? Because Jesus did it. He bridged the gap. God said this. When he saw Adam in the garden, Adam had all the food, all the animals, all the pleasure, 450 channels on his digital TV. He had everything that you wanted. And God looked down and said, it's not good that man is alone. He made Eve. God made woman. And he put them in relationship. Can I tell you, they've done studies where they found out that physical touch, people who have anywhere from 8 to 10 physical, meaningful touches during the day, they are happier and more positive than people who don't have those physical touches. That's why in many nursing homes and hospitals, they will bring little dogs and pets and animals so people can pet them, so elderly people can rub the pet. Why? Because it causes the serotonin and the dopamine and the oxytocin, all the good chemicals that we need. It raises them up. God has made us that way. And when we talk about being in relationship with one another, first of all, it starts with a relationship with God. In fact, there are three levels of relationship I want to talk to you about. The first one is public. We're here in public. This is a relationship I have with you now. I'm at least 15 to 20 feet away from many of you, and this is a public relationship. There's plenty of space between us, so this is a public address. So we have a relationship here, but how many know that this relationship is public, and it could be a lot more personal? In fact, the next step is not public relationship, but it is actually personal relationship. That's 6 feet away or closer. In fact, there's no mistake why the doctors have told us to have a space because of the COVID virus to have 6 feet distancing between people. Why? Because anything closer is what we call personal space. How many of you know, has anybody ever gotten into your personal space where it became uncomfortable? That's called private space or intimate space. When somebody gets 3 feet or closer, that's called intimate space. Now, very few people get in intimate space with us unless we invite them. My wife, we have intimate space together. When we're watching a movie, she'll sit beside me and she'll whisper things in my ear. Or if we're out to eat, she'll talk to me and tell me things like, "You're wonderful," "You're great," or "Your zipper's down," something like that. She lets me know it's intimate. See, you don't publicly talk about those kind of things. So these different levels of comfort. And so God wants us to be comfortable with intimacy with Him. A lot of us like God at the public. We like God way over there. "God, you're good. I believe in you, but I don't want to get too close, because if I get too close, that means you're going to see stuff in me." We like God maybe sometimes when He's personal and He gives us a prophecy. The next week we're having John Rohr come. He's wonderful. He will absolutely prophesy your socks off. He has a gift from God. Don't miss it next week, next Sunday. It will be personal. He'll talk about things that only God knows about you. And He'll speak and minister to you, and you're walking away, "How did He know that? How did He know these personal things?" God knows those things. So we kind of like the personal for a little while, but then when it comes to the intimate, we only let a few people in. You know why? Because when we get intimate with people, there's a probability and the chance we may get hurt. How many here have ever had a broken relationship or been heartbroken by some? Yeah, we all have. Yeah, some people put two hands up. We're going to pray for you, you know. It doesn't feel good, does it? And there's a price to be paid when we become intimate, you see. And God knows that. The public level, the personal level, the intimate level. And then there's another level. It's called the social or digital level now. That's even further removed from public. As good as it is to have the technology that people can come in online and see our service, and we thank you, we're welcome that you're here, and we're so glad you're here, it's not the same as personal and intimate. It just isn't. It just isn't there. In fact, computers offer the illusion of companionship without the real cost of relationship. We think we're online. We think we're in relationship on social media or on Facebook. Can I tell you what? That's cyberspace. That's not real. Real relationship is when it's flesh and blood, when it's you and me together nutting out the issues of life in this thing called discipleship. God has paid that price for us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Our next slide, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 11 says this. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. "Actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. If he is a sexually immoral person, or a greedy person, or an idolater, or verbally abusive, or habitually drunk, or a swindler, not to even eat with such a person." Now, Paul the apostle understood his mandate was to go and reach people who didn't know God. But here he's writing to the church and saying, if you know someone who habitually, that means they practice this thing over and over again, I don't even want you to just eat lunch with them. Why? Because if you're in relationship with those kind of people, there's going to be an intimacy when you sit down and eat, when you talk to them, that will impact and will defile you spiritually. Don't even eat with them if they habitually live this way. There's a relational trespassing that takes place if we violate that space. And we all know that. We've all been hurt. We've all trusted people that it didn't work out well. And God is saying, look, I don't want you to be that way with the world system. Yes, we're meant to reach the world. Yes, we're meant to be evangelistic and give people the good news, but we're not meant to be intimate with the world. And unfortunately, that's been misconstrued in our culture. That has been contaminated where people think, well, I can just go clubbing and hang out with unsaved people and do all this stuff, and somehow I slip into church on Sunday and everything will be just fine. Unfortunately, it doesn't work that way. Don't even eat with them. Why? I wonder why he would say don't eat with them, because eating is such an intimate thing. When you sit down and eat together. Last night I took my daughters out to dinner. We went to a beautiful steakhouse and we sat down and ate. You know, the food was great, but you know what was better? The level of relationship. Because I was able to look at my beautiful daughters, talk to them, encourage them, hear what's going on in their heart. And even though I enjoyed the food, it was the moment that the meal brought that I enjoyed more. When you eat with people, when you're intimate with people, there is a relational connection that we have that is from God. It's from God. You want people to like you, feed them. Just feed them. They may hate you, but keep feeding them and keep buying them steaks and banana pudding, whatever they want. Just after a while, they'll be your best friend. Or they'll be your pet dog, whatever. Anyway, you know, you get the point. There's something that happens when people realize, hey, this person cares about me at a deep level, an intimate level. There's three connections I want to talk about here as we go on. Number one, we need to have a connection with God is our most intimate. Jesus must be Lord. He must be the main thing. I love Jesus more than anything else. The second thing I love is my wife, Renee. She's my best friend. We've been married 31 years. I hope you're watching, honey. I'm bragging on you. We've been married 31 years, and it was the second greatest thing I ever did was when I first was accept Jesus, the second was to ask Renee to marry me. And for 31 years, and we got married, we said, look, we're going to be married, we're going to live for God, and we're going to do it the right way. And if we get mad, we're not going to talk about separation or divorce. In fact, I told her one time, I said, if you ever want to divorce me, if you ever think about leaving me, if you ever plan on going, I'm going to go with you. You can't get rid of me. Why? Because there's this intimacy that we have forged that I'm indebted to her, and hopefully she's indebted to me. I love you, Renee. Thank you for saying amen over the text. There are three connections. Our connection with God, number one, we need to connect with God. That's your first connection. Number two, we connect with God's people, the church. Then we connect to the world, the people in the world who don't yet know Christ. So what is the order? We connect to God. Number two, we connect to the people of God. Number three, we connect to the world after we've connected with God and God's people and been disciples so that we can go out and bring them into the church for the proper connection, right? The problem with our world is there's too many bad connections, too many wrong connections, too many connections that are out of priority, that are not in order. So if you want to be a great Christian, you better connect with God. If you want to be an overcomer, you better first connect with God. You can hang around Pastor Ron and Cindy and Ben and Ed and all these other leaders, but let me tell you what, if you really want to make it, because one day Ed won't be there for you, one day Adam won't be there for you, one day Ron may not be there, Cindy may not be there, but guess what? God is there. You connect with God. So we connect with God. Then we connect with the people of God. This is my family. The reason I'm here is not because I have to be here. I get to be here. I want to be here. I want to connect with you. And guess what? All of you are much different than me. All of you look different than me. But guess what? That doesn't change a thing because there's a connection going on here. Amen. God wants to be a connector. Touch the person next to you and say, God wants to connect with you. He wants you to be a connector. So we connect with God. We connect with the church, the people of God. Then we connect with the world. Why that order, Pastor Ken? Why do we have to connect with God and the people of God first? Why can't I just go out and do my thing with my friends who don't know God? Here's why. It's because rather than them, you influencing them, they will influence you. If you don't have the right connection, they will sap you dry, and then before you know it, you will become like the very people you're trying to reach. In fact, I can tell you what you're going to be like in 5 years. Show me your friends, and I will show you your future. Show me the people you're hanging with, and I will tell you what you'll be like. You see, why? Because you've got some faulty connections. You've got some connections that are not right. You see, I remember I've had young people come up to me, and this was actually in Australia, but a young person came to me and said, well, I'm a Christian, I'm dating this girl, she doesn't believe in Jesus, but if I pray hard enough and bring her to your church, you know, maybe she'll get right. Maybe she'll get saved. Maybe she'll straighten up. You know what we call that? We call evangelistic dating. God doesn't need you to be a dating missionary like that. That's not your mission. You know where those missionaries end up? They end up being pulled away from the church. I cannot tell you how many people with the intention of going out clubbing and being cool and trendy and hip and in vogue, I'm just going to reach my friends. All of a sudden, they're the ones being reached and pulled into the club life, pulled into the secular life. Why? Because they had the wrong connection. They weren't connected with God. They thought, if I can connect with people who don't know God, just because maybe I know about God, maybe they'll follow me. No, they're not. Your connections are all wrong. You've got to connect with God before you connect with the world. You got to connect with Jesus before you connect with the church. Well, I'm coming to this church. It's great, man. They have great donuts and coffee. They preach. They let us out before the Baptists get out. And so it's great, man. I love this church. Let me tell you what. You better not come here just because this church. There are people in Tallahassee that can do church better than us. There are people that have better coffee and better donuts. Don't go there, but they do. They have it. So there are better preachers than Pastor Ron and me and Ben and Adam and all. Let me tell you, there's somebody who can do church better than us. If you're here because we got the best show, I got news for you. There's a better show coming next week. You're not going to be happy here if you're connected to the church before you're connected to God. Say amen or oh my. We've got to be connected in the right way. Those three connections must, ladies and gentlemen, there's a sequential variance. God, God's people, then I'm going to reach the lost. Don't go out there trying to reach the lost. They'll reach you if you're not plugged into God first. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1 and 2 says this. I think we have it on the slide. Yes, thank you. It is actually reported to me there's sexual immorality among you. Sexual immorality is such a kind as not even among the Gentiles. Namely, that someone has his father's wife. It was either incest or it was a mother-in-law situation. But either way, it was wrong and sinful and a shameful act. You have become arrogant and you have not mourned instead, so that the one who has done this would be removed from your midst. In other words, we've allowed sin, we've accommodated a compromise because of this disconnection, this relational disconnection. We've allowed in the church, and we haven't addressed it. He said, you've become arrogant, thinking somehow that cancer can live in your church, and if you don't deal with it, it'll simply go away. He says, you should remove it. You should remove it. It's a cancer. Cut it out. And Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. Now, the church of Corinth, they lived in a part of the world that was very, very secular, very fallen, very sensual. In fact, to be Corinthianized was synonymous with being involved in lewd fornication and seeing and visiting brothels. That's what the word Corinthianized meant in the New Testament. That's how degraded and how degenerate that culture was. So they understood about temptation. They understood about sexual sin. He said, deal with it. You're arrogant to think that you can allow light and darkness to meet. There's a relational disconnect here. Deal with it. Remove them from the midst. 1 Corinthians 16:14, I love this. Now God has not only raised the Lord, but will also raise us up through his power. Do you not know that your bodies are a part of Christ? Shall I then take away the parts of Christ and make them a part of a prostitute? Far from it. Or do you not know the one who joins himself with a prostitute is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. So what's he saying? He's saying, look, if you're a part of the body of Christ, if you're part of this thing called the Church of the Living God, you cannot proselytize yourself and be prostituted in the world or prostituted with another lover. It's not necessarily talking about a physical woman. It's talking about a love for the world, the idolatry to be accepted in the world, to be accepted by the secular world around us, that you proselytize your conviction. If you're one in the body, how could you be joined to a prostitute? And we understand that we need to understand relationships. Relationships are important. Let me tell you what, my wife, I love her. And I would not, the thing that keeps me from doing something wrong is because I love her and I care about her. You see? And the thing that keeps me straight is I love and care about this church. We've heard things about great men of God falling in immorality like Ravi Zacharias, and it's heartbreaking and it's despicable and it's debilitating, and it just is horrible to think about that. In fact, this evening I've got to do a podcast for California with a whole bunch of pastors on what are we going to do with people who are falling out because of this debacle with Ravi Zacharias, who compromised his Christian faith by going after other lovers. Great man of God, great preacher, but guess what? There was a relational breakdown. Something was disconnected, and now we see a ruined life, and the name of Jesus is being trampled through the mud because of it. 2 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17, 18 says this, therefore come from out of their midst and be separate. Say separate. Wonder what separate really means. Well, it means in the Greek to come out and be separate. In fact, we use another word. We call it sanctified. Say sanctified. You know what the word sanctified means? Set apart for something special. God has set you apart for something special. God has set me apart for something special. I do not want to run after any other lovers. I do not want to prostitute my calling or my future for some temporary pleasure. Therefore, I am connected to the one I love. Therefore, I am connected relationally and have sanctified myself so I can be the man of God God called me to be. I don't need another woman. I don't need another relationship. I am fully supplied with God, this church, and the relationship I have with my wife. That's because I've placed God as the primary relationship. And unless we do that, you and I will be wandering around this life looking for another woman, looking for another man, looking for another opportunity, looking for another lover. Unless we get this priority in relationships sorted out. Therefore, come from out of the midst, be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you. Look at this wooing and this wonderful reconciliation. I'll welcome you. I'll be a father to you. I'll take you in. And you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord God Almighty. Who says this? Well, Pastor Ken's over there preaching that we can't. No, no, no. Pastor Ken didn't preach this. Says the Lord God Almighty. I'm just a messenger boy. I'm just telling you what he says about relationships. John 17, 23 says this, I am in them and you are in me, O Lord, that they may be in perfect unity so that the world may know that you sent me. Listen to this. He says, I'm in you, God, and you're in me, and they could be in unity so the world would know that you sent me. In other words, our unity in relationships to God, to the church, and one another is a mere reflection that God really exists. And it's possible to walk in unity. It's possible to walk in relationships. You see? And it's so important that we realize is that this whole thing on unity, God says, it's there where I command the blessing. Where there's unity in the body of Christ. There's unity in your marriage. There's unity in your church. And when you have that relational component there under the lordship of Jesus in the right order, it's amazing what God will do and is doing. I and them, and you and me, that they may be perfected in unity. Everyone say unity. So that the world will know. I want the world to know that Every Nation Tallahassee has got the right connections going on. And guess what? They will come here. Why? Because they're looking for the same love and the same unity that we're looking for. Why? Because we're social beings. We need and crave relationships. Finally, Philippians chapter 2, 3 and 4 says this. Do nothing from selfishness or empty deceit, but with humility of mind, consider one another more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also the interest of others. I was speaking at a university, and a guy came up to me and said, what do you think? He said, I think the Bible's written by men, and I don't think it's divinely inspired. What do you think? I said, well, I think it's written by God, and this verse is why I think it's written by God. Now, if I'd written the Bible, you know what I'd have said in Philippians? Look, if you got a little bit left over at the end of the month, help a guy out. Be nice if you can, but you got to take care of number one. You got to take care of your own family, and you got to work through a college degree. You got to do all these things where, you know, you set up where you're comfortable and everything's convenient for your lifestyle. And then if you have a bit left over at the end of the month, then you can help the people who are disadvantaged. How many know that's what we would have put in there if we were writing this? What does God say? He says, consider others more important than yourself. That goes against our culture. Why? We live in a me culture. We live in an individuality where my feelings and my preferences, they dictate my world, and I do what I want to do. I be me and you be you. That's our culture. God comes against this radical. Consider people more important than you. Forget about you. Forget about yourself. Consider other people more important than you. You want to get rid of racism? Read this verse right here and practice it. There won't be any more racism. If you consider other people more, it doesn't matter what skin color, how much money they have in the bank, where they come from. If you love people the way Jesus loves them and consider them more important than yourself, you will see revival in your life and others around you. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interests of others. Can I tell you what, church? God has called us not to come and get blessed. He's called us to come to get blessed, to be a blessing. When you leave here, hopefully the connection you've plugged in with God, with your spiritual family, will then bleed out into the rest of the world that are dying for this kind of intimacy. They're dying for this kind of relationship. But unless Jesus is Lord, unless he calls the shots, unless he is the master of your life, you will live like every other selfish person for yourself. You cannot avoid it, not in this world. All that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life. But be of good courage. I have overcome the world. We have a choice, by relational choice, to connect with God, connect with the church, and then we can connect with people in the world who don't know him. If we do it in that order, in the lordship of who Jesus is, let me tell you, we will see revival. And that's our plan as this church at Every Nation Tallahassee. Would you bow your heads? We're going to pray. We're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Those who are viewing online, we're so glad you're here, but I want you to pray and bow your heads, put down your coffee or your tea, whatever you're drinking, and let's just join with us for a moment. We're trusting the Holy Spirit's right there in your office, your living room, your den, wherever you're viewing this, and we just pray that God would touch you even as we feel his presence in this auditorium. Lord, we thank you that you're a relational God, that you first sent your Son to rebuild and restore relationship. And because Jesus came incarnate in bodily flesh, walked among us, Father, we have a relationship with you. And Father, we realize it's not just a relationship, but Lord, it's a way of life. And Father, I'm praying today that people would not just know you, but Lord, they would want to know you intimately. They would not want to know you casually or socially or in a personal way, but they want to know you intimately. Father, I pray that you would touch our hearts, that you would cause us to put aside all the distractions and all the confusion that's in our world and really focus in on the main connection, the main relationship, which is you. Jesus, we honor you. You're the Lord of this church. You're the head of this church. Father, we thank you. You rule this world. You rule the universe. And we acknowledge you and we pay our allegiance to you this morning. Father, help us to get in right relationship. With your heads down, your eyes closed, if you're here this morning, you're either viewing online or you're sitting in this auditorium, you say, Ken, my relationships aren't right. They're out of order. My priorities are not right. I need to put God as the main connection. He's got to be number one. I need to connect to God. I need to connect to the people of God. I've just kind of been independent. I've been a lone ranger, slipping in church, slipping out of church, just doing whatever I want. But I need to connect to the people of God. And I need to be equipped so I can touch other people who don't yet know you and connect to them. But those first two are indispensable. I've got to do that first. If you're here this morning, you say, I need to make that connection to God. I need to make it intimate. I need to make a clear connection. And I want to get that right before I step out of this auditorium or before I leave this podcast or this Zoom call or this online program. If you're there, if that's you, I just want you to pray right where you're at. Say, Jesus, I repent. I put you as the first relationship in my life. Lord, I make you the number one connection in my life. I ask you to forgive me for allowing other relationships or other connections to push you out. Lord, I pray that you would be my primary connection. You'd be my primary love. You'd be my primary relationship. And out of that, Lord, I can connect with your church, your people. And Father, through that, I can connect with people who are dying and don't know you, that I can reach them and bring them into a relationship with you. So, Father, we thank you for this day. And those people who've prayed that prayer to come in connection with you, Lord, I pray right now by the Spirit of the living God that you would touch their heart. With our eyes closed and our head down, if you prayed that first prayer to connect with God, you say, I need to reconnect, Ken. I've come unplugged. I've got to reestablish that connection with God. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand high. Yes, yes, you can put it back down. If you're at the second connection, you say, I need to connect with the church. I love God, but I have not connected with the people of God. I've been independent. I've been doing my own thing. But I need to connect with the people of God, the church. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Yes, God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Father, we thank you for all these people who prayed. We thank you that this relationship is important. And Lord, I pray that we would guard these relationships, that we would fight for these relationships. And Father, we thank you that Lordship demands that we stay in the right relational arrangement. So Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you that you first reached out to us to bring us into relationship with you. And we thank you for that. And we give you the glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Would you all stand with me before we're dismissed? Please stand. If you're here today and you need to talk to someone about what you prayed for, if you're saying, look, I really need to solidify my connection with God, I prayed that prayer, come forward. We have our ministry team up front. They'll pray with you. They'll help you. Excuse me. If you need to connect, say, look, I really need to get plugged into a church. You come and we can talk to you. We have next steps where we actually help people discern if this is their spiritual family, if this is where you're meant to be, and if it isn't, God bless you. If it is, praise God. We're excited for you. But you need to be in right relationship with a church, a spiritual family somewhere in the city that can help you, and you can be a part of the life of that church. And number three, if you want to reach other people, you got to get those first two connections right first. Come forward. These people will pray for you. They'll help you. If you need whatever you need, we have booklets. We have Bible studies. So we're so glad you came, and we want you to have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. God bless you, and we'll see you next week. You are dismissed.